Hello and welcome to The Nourished Wrap, a podcast brought to you by The Balanced Nutritionist, a clinic based in Brisbane, Australia, specialising in personalised nutrition centred around real food. This podcast features clinical nutritionists, Katie King and Nicole Bentz, as well as special guests. Please remember that the ideas and concepts discussed in this podcast do not replace individualized medical advice. If you love the podcast, find The Balanced Nutritionist on Facebook and Instagram. For more info or to book an in-clinic or Skype consult, check out our website www.thebalancednutritionist.com.au. For now, tune in and be inspired.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of The Nourished Wrap. I'm here with Nicole.
Hi.
And today we're actually going to be focusing, this will be our last podcast for 2019. And because it's about a week before Christmas, we wanted to talk about mindful eating. So we've actually got Riaz here with us today, who's a, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Riaz? Okay.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure being invited to your podcast. So what do? I classify myself as, if for use of a word, maybe a life coach. I also work with people to help them on their businesses. So I help them with their life surrounding their businesses and how their business impacts them. I also help them on their eating habits, on money issues. So there's a few things that I work with people with. And if I was to give it a name, I'd call it rapid transformational coaching. And one of the key areas that I work a lot with people on is food. And thus, I do a lot of work with Katie on food, and she refers lots of clients with me to me, and I refer lots of clients to her. And we found that this relationship works really well because we tackle the problem from both sides. We tackle it from the actual eating and what we eat and to what we put into our bodies, as well as what we put into our mind and what we and how and why we eat. And those are some of the areas that I cover.
Yeah, great. Beautiful. So before we pick Riaz's extensive brains, I know a lot of my clients are coming in and they're kind of, it's like they're scared of Christmas.
A little bit, particularly the ones that have been maybe following a strict, you know, program, such as metabolic balance or something. They're kind of worried about what to do over Christmas. Mm. Yeah.
And so, I mean, obviously, you know, we will talk to people on some level about the emotional aspect of food, but it's certainly not an area that we're extensively trained in. But, you know, a lot of the things that we're sort of talking to our clients about is just things like remembering that, you know, Christmas is just one day, or, you know, just it's just a few days off. In the reality of things, what's most important is what happens for the rest of the year. It shouldn't be a time of guilt, but then it also shouldn't be a time of, like, you know, eating unconsciously either. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, making conscious choices about what you're putting into your mouth before you shove it in there, particularly around Christmas, because there is so many, you know, functions and parties and stuff where you might just be mindlessly eating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, thinking about that before you go into those situations.
I think a lot of people focus on what they're eating and they're worried about too much sugar, too much calorie intake. But I think what they should really focus on is mindful of the relationships they're building at the table while they're eating and as they're eating. So
that's a bit of a...
So, for example, how we eat is really a reflection of who we are. So if we're a fast eater and we gulp things down, it could be a reflection of how we grew up. If we grew up in a family where there's lots of siblings and we had to rush for that food, that very process of and that habitual way of rushing into food and gulping it down is actually reflects on how we actually live our life. Instead of being that slow, conscious, mindful eater, the one that plans their lives and takes their time and sets things up and is planful and systematic, We could be one of those that are spur, last-minute, planful people who rush into things, do things quickly. So really, how we eat has a big reflection on how we live our lives.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Never thought of it like that.
So before we go and talk about what you should be doing and feeling as you're eating, just taking your time to do exactly what the doctors tell you to. Take your food, chew it 32 times, take your time. And most important is, before you even eat that food, setting up that table before you eat, mobile phones should be a banned. Mobile phones should be a no-no, because this is probably the one day or 2 days of the year where you connect with people that you're probably not going to see for the next 364 days. Do you want that focus, that time that you should spend with your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters, to be focused on your phone? And this is where most people have issues cutting off. They come from a heavy workload, they're finishing off all their work, and they're going to Christmas. Their body is ready, their mind's there, they're present at the table, but their mind is somewhere else.
Yeah.
They're looking at their phone, they're waiting for the deadline that they didn't meet before Christmas, and that's the main issue here. Being present while you eat is as powerful as how you eat. So being present at the table, take all the way the phones, take it all away. Take the time to connect with yourself, and most importantly, connect with the people around you. Because if you haven't connected with yourself, you're not going to connect with the people around you. There's a saying, first you change that which is within, and then the world around you changes with you. So when you're ready for Christmas, and you've got that mindset, I'm disconnecting from work, I'm going to be present. And being present is the other issue. To be present at the dining table, simple tip, just breathe. So we call it the coherent breathing technique. 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out, and that's one cycle. So do that 5 or 6 times a minute, and that's the perfect breathing method that we should breathe. So when you do this breathing technique, you find that you're immediately present at the table, because you can't be focused on your breathing and be somewhere else at the same time. It's almost, the mind can't do that. You're stuck at one place. So focus on the breathing and tell yourself, I'm connecting with myself. And then look at the people around you and say, I connect easily and effortlessly with you. I connect easily and effortlessly to you. This will be a wonderful Christmas. I'm going to enjoy this experience with my relatives. I might not love them 100%, but I love them because they're here and they're part of my life. And for the next 1 or 2 days, I'm going to be present. And when you set this expectation within you, people around you feel that vibe. They feel that vibration. And if everybody around the table does the same thing, guess what? We've got connection. There's enough research to show that if everyone just started breathing together or like praying together, you immediately connect on the same frequency. So if you're not the praying type, then do this at the table. Suggest to everyone, hey guys, let's take 2 minutes and let's just breathe together. And immediately you create a vibe that you probably never ever felt in any of your Christmases. Try it.
Wow.
So just take the first 2 minutes before you eat at your table. To everybody, breathe 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out, do that for 2 minutes. And I can almost guarantee you, you'll be calling Katie, Katie, my breathing techniques. So that's where. So setting yourself up and being present is as important as what you eat and how you eat. Being present at the table, letting go of that phone, letting go of the work, letting go of expectations, or I have to please my mother, I have to please my brother. Just please yourself, be yourself, connect with yourself. And remember, you don't have to be a people pleaser. Connect with yourself first and then connect with others. And everything else will come, and that relationship will come along together. So don't be worried about what's going to be said, whether I'm going to hurt someone, what I'm going to say. Just enjoy the mood and the connection and be there. So once you've established that being present, that's the key step, putting away the phones. The next is taking your time and just eating slowly. So I often tell my clients, they go, Riaz, I want to let go of weight, but at Christmas I have to eat all these sweet cookies and sweet things. I go, well, why not? You can tell your mind, I will let go of weight and I can enjoy this sweet today, and for the next few weeks I'll let go of them. So allow, give yourself that permission. If you eat, if you eat when you're feeling guilty or you're feeling stressed about the food you're eating, guess what? It's going to go straight into storage.
Yeah.
So you might as well eat guilt-free and happily and enjoy that food.
I totally agree with that. Totally. I think you always, you always see those clients that you're, that it's almost like their diets are really good, and but you know they can't, they're always guilty and they're always coming from this point of stress, and it everything goes into storage, and you just want to say, you know what, just chill, just release it so it goes away.
I agree. The guilt, the emotion around that is actually worse for your body, or has more of an effect on your body than actually the food itself.
Yeah.
You know, which is getting back to what you were saying, Riaz, but, you know, it's not necessarily the food. It's how you're coming into that moment, how you think.
So tell your mind, so you enjoy this piece of cake or cookie or whatever it is today, tomorrow, you'll just enjoy it. And the following week, when you have that same cookie or whatever, you go, I'll just have one piece. And when I'm 80 years old, I'll stuff myself full of chocolates again. So give your mind that permission. Okay, so when you rob the mind of the power of choice, you have robbed that individual of the essential basic right of being human. So let me elaborate. If you go to a lion and go, hey, lion, here's vegetables. You're going to be a vegetarian today. The lion going to go, what? Ain't going to work because it's in his nature to be a carnivore. But a human has a choice. A human has a choice to being doing right or wrong, eating vegetables or eating meat, whatever. But whatever it is, when you tell your mind, I choose to, you're giving that person choice. If someone went to you and said, Katie, you can't eat any chocolates, guess what? The first thing your mind's going to go, no way.
Yeah,
I'm going to eat that chocolate.
Yeah.
So what you do is you tell the mind, I choose to use these words, I choose to. I choose to give myself permission to eat this wonderful food that's here today. And I choose to exercise next week to burn it out. Or I choose to control my diet the following weeks. But this is an important time of the year. I choose to eat with a happy heart. I choose to be grateful. And that's another one, being grateful for all the food that is thank you. Grateful to your mom, whoever cook that food, be grateful and eat it with love. And then you'll find you actually enjoy that food, eat it slowly, you actually digest that food, and it probably will end up in storage, but not everything will go into storage.
And you'll probably eat less of it as well if you've eaten it slowly and breathed.
Enjoying it, conversing with others around the table.
Rather than just going in and diving at the food on the table and eating everything that's there. Yeah.
Because that's coming from that guilty and I can't kind of mindset, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this leads me to the other conversation I've been having with clients recently. They're going, I have to meet people that I don't really, really like.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in their company. I don't enjoy being in their company. How am I going to eat happy, be in a happy present state and enjoy that? Well, so let me give you an analogy. You walk into a room and it's dark. What's the first thing people say to you?
Turn on the light.
Does anybody ever go turn off the light? Oh, sorry. Does anybody go turn off the darkness or turn on the darkness? It's always turn on the light. So if you walk into a room and there's a one tiny speck of light in that room, I can guarantee your eyes will go right there. You go right for that tiny dot of light in that room because light, no matter where it is, no matter how dark it is, it's light. You see it. So when you walk into that room with your family and friends there, choose to focus on that light in them. Because when you focus on the light, you can do something about it. You can grow light, but you can't grow darkness. When you focus on the light and you praise them for the good they have in them, for that, if they have 10 bad qualities and one good, focus on that one light good thing. And guess what? You might actually enjoy being with them. Because if you focus on the negativity in them, what's the energy coming out of you? Anger, upset. All the stories of the past for the last 30 years, I all recall you bringing all that to mind. And that's not what you want in Christmas. You want to bring the good to the table. So instead of focusing on the bad in the others, focus on the good in them and you'll also bring out the good in you. Because when you focus on the good, You recall all those happy memories you've had with your siblings, the good times you had with mom and dad and your relatives and friends. So do that. Focus on that one light thing within them and eat. Best advice ever.
Right. Love it.
Good, because it's easy to focus on the negative in anything in life, isn't it? We kind of dwell on that often rather than focus on those positives. And as particularly around Christmas, it's so nice to be grateful for, like, your food, but also having, you know, those people around you, even if, you know, you might not choose to spend time with them. Yeah.
I don't know, do you do a gratitude exercise with the clients before they eat? Have you ever run that?
No. Okay. I often say to people that all I ask for people is that they choose food that will make them feel good afterwards. So not just that's going to feel good for 5 seconds, but, you know, how will they feel?
Okay, so this process actually helps people feel good about the food even before they've eaten it. So, for example, you take a piece of, let's say you're eating a pie.
Mm-hmm.
Take a piece of pie and put it right in front of you. And before you put it in your mouth, you just look at that pie and you picture all the ingredients that have gone into that pie.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that pie. There's the flour, there's the raisin, there's the apples, there's the sugar. Picture every single person along that food chain who's made it possible for you to put together that beautiful pie that now sits right in front of you. Close your eyes and go back and say thank you to the farmer, thank you to the distributor, thank you to the person who harvested that wheat, who rode that truck out there in the hot sun for you to have this beautiful pie in front of you. Immediately when you do this, you'll find a shift in your energy. You immediately find peace because you've taken time to sit, look at that person, imagine that person right there, and you go and say, thank you for this. And there's an immediate shift in energy. And then you smell that pie, and then you eat it. And as you're eating it slowly, you're thinking of those same people, and you're going, thank you.
And it's going to taste better.
I guarantee you, it's going to be the most enjoyable pie you've ever eaten. Many people never do this, but the first time they do this exercise, it's like, wow.
That's a really good exercise for people who, because we do a lot of trying to get people to eat whole foods and not processed foods, and obviously metabolic balance is very whole foods focused. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people are like, oh, it's boring food, it's bland, it's this, I can't use flavor, etc. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to kind of counsel people through the process of, well, actually, that's food, you know. Mm-hmm. Food shouldn't be, you know, coated in tomato sauce and this and that. But that's a great exercise for that, because it helps people to go, wow, you know, like, I've got this beautiful, these vegetables and they came from here or there or wherever. And, you know, yeah, I think that's a great technique for the sorts of
And when you're eating gratitude, remember there's millions of people out there who don't have that.
Can you take that a step further as well, and actually when you put it in your mouth and you're chewing it, to actually take time to concentrate on what does it feel like in my mouth, what can I taste, you know, so that you are really consciously aware of all of those flavors, because, you know, real food isn't boring. I mean,
no, it's not.
Might think,
oh my
it is,
goodness,
but, you know, it's so flavorsome when we take the time to recognize that.
Yeah.
So I think there's a mindset shift, right, where when you're so used to tasting food a certain way, the brain just has this synapses or pathway that goes, this is what food tastes like. And there's enough neuroscience out there to prove that it takes 60 days for a new neural pathway to link together and form. So when you're getting into this habit of tasting new food, what you need to do in the beginning is to lie, cheat, and steal from your mind. What do I mean by this? So you put this food in, the mouth's going to go, oh, this is so bland.
Yeah.
If you're used to eating tomato-coated food, your mouth's going to go, oh, this is bad. So what we need to do is take back our control from that mind. So you're going, I love this food. I enjoy this food. This food, maybe it's bland now, but I'll get used to it, and it's really healthy for me. My body's going to benefit so much for me. I'm going to see the change, and over a period of 3 or 4 weeks, this food will be the new me. So as we're doing this, we're conditioning the mind, and we're taking back willpower. So you lie, cheat, and steal from that subconscious mind, and you're taking back your power. And over a period of 60 days, you find that when your neural pathways solidify, the old ones will weaken, because as soon as you let go of question or say, I don't need this sugar-coated food anymore, when you question a belief or question what you eat, you weaken those neural pathways. And those will dissolve, and these new neural pathways, I enjoy eating these fresh food that's good for me, that's healthy for me. And as you repeat this over and over again, 60 days, you'll find you won't go back to the old you again, because it's the brain's made this pathway and it's just automatic.
So conversely, can you have the opposite effect? If you're trying to, you know, have a new style of eating or try new foods and you keep saying, I hate this food, it's bland, while you're eating it, are you kind of like strengthening those old neurons?
Definitely.
Rather than building the new pathway?
You are what you eat and you are what you think.
I agree with that. You do, sometimes you have those clients, don't you? And when they start talking and they start, oh, it's really boring. It's really hard to help them come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see the next client, they might be in exactly the same, you know, place in their transformation or their work with you, and their attitude is totally different. Oh, really enjoying things and I'm loving this and I've rediscovered this. And it's a totally different result, because the outlook and the way their head is so different.
Okay. So often when you're trying to make that mindset shift, why you're doing it is more powerful than how you do it. So if you have a very strong why you need to change what you're eating and the way you're eating, and you have a clear reason for this, then it's almost easier. The how becomes easy. Most people change when they're in so much pain, and they change quicker because the pain forces them to change. So there's a saying, make room for health or make room for illness, or make room for exercise, make time for exercise or make time for illness. So either way, you either make room or make time for eating healthily. Make conscious decisions that this is going to taste good no matter what, or make time for illness. It's a choice. So when people who are in enough pain, they'll eat anything. They'll eat Chinese medicine that tastes so bitter, put it down their throats. Because why? They know that this is going to help me heal. So we have a choice. Do we need to get to that pain threshold where we have to make the decision where it's either going to go into a serious, have to be hospitalized, or I make a choice to change now? Before you get to that point, start changing the way you eat. Replace those processed food with home-cooked food. Start with simple food. You don't have to be a gourmet chef. Just start with simple food and work your way through there. But have a very clear reason why you need to change. If that's not articulated clearly, why I need to shift the way I'm eating, the how won't be possible and you won't shift.
Right. Okay. So I think we're probably getting close to the end now, but let's just go back, because there's so much good stuff there. Let's bring it back to, you know, Christmas time and just recap some of the things that you said that were gold, was focusing on
being present. Mm-hmm. Letting go, letting that phone go, putting that phone away, and help everyone do that. So when everyone's doing the same thing, it's easier. So everybody put the phone away, be present, and first connect with yourself. So tell yourself, I'm going to take this time. I'm going to enjoy being here. I connect, and tell yourself inside your heart, I enjoy being here. I connect easily and effortlessly with everyone, and they connect easily and effortlessly with me. And then do an exercise together, breathe together. And that will easily put everyone in the same frequency. If you pray together, even better. But breathing is probably a very quick way of putting everyone in the same frequency. 5 seconds in, 5 seconds exhale. Do it 5 times or 6 times over a minute. So that's called 6-cycle breathing. When you've done that, you'll find that shift, I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
Next step is to, before you put that piece of food in your mouth, that beautiful food, think of all the people who made it possible for you to have that food in front of you today, including the people who prepared the meal for you. And say thank you out loud and in your heart, say thank you. Because when you're thankful for what you have, guess what the universe says? Hey, he actually is grateful for what he has. I'll give him more. Most people are not grateful for what they have, and the universe goes, well, he's not grateful for that. I'm not going to give him more.
Mm-hmm.
So be grateful for what we have, and then the universe will reciprocate in the same way. The next step is focus on the good in others. See that light. When you focus on that light in that individual, that light can grow. And you change as well, because when you're focusing on that light, you're bringing into your present all the good memories of being with that person. When you're focusing on the darkness or the bad, guess what? You're remembering all the bad times that that person hurt you or you did something to them and why you should hold on to that anger. So focus on the light and let that be a merry, merry light Christmas.
Fantastic. And just before we wrap up, Riaz, how can people find out more about you?
Okay, so you can go to my website, riazpeter.org, so riazpeter.org, and you can send me an email, give me a call, be happy to speak to you.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for joining us, guys, and this will be our last podcast for the year, so we're looking forward to being back in 2020 with more great content.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.